Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And before we get to today's rock star guest, I just want to draw people to my website, www.markpattisonnfl.com. There's 250-something podcasts on there. I've been doing this now a couple of years, so please go in, check them out. A lot of inspirational people doing amazing things, like the guy I have on today. Also, I'd appreciate if you gave a ratings and review on Apple. Always helps elevate and lift the show, more popularity, so we can touch more people with, again, these things that they're doing. Also, there's a link to my Emmy award-winning film, Searching for the Summit, which the NFL put together. So you can go and you can check it out. You can check out the trailer. You can check out the actual film that links to NFL 360. It's a bit hard to find through their system. And finally, I continue to raise money for Higher Ground. There's a link that goes directly to that organization. It's all about empowerment of other people who have been wounded and need healing, which we do so here in Sun Valley, Idaho, which I am broadcasting live from right now. So if you want to go and throw in some little bit of money, every bit helps. And again, we continue to raise money towards that Emily's Everest campaign. So on that note, let's get into today's great guest, Miles Burris. How you doing? He is a former NFL player. He's a former Raider and good dude. And we're going to have a chat. And so first and foremost, you're broadcasting yourself from Nashville, Tennessee. How's it going? Sure.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. I watched the documentary last night, by the way, and it was fantastic. It was worthy of the best picture. It was beautiful.
You know, I had there's another Raider buddy, Pete Koch, who was a number one draft pick back in the day with Kansas City, and then was later played with the Raiders. And he's been at the acting thing for a whole long time. He's a bit older than me. And he's like, look, dude, how is a guy that doesn't have any kind of acting experience? And I've been doing this for 30 years and, you know, all these gigs that he goes in and out of, and you win a big best picture for something that you know nothing about. And I just threw my hands up. I said, I don't know. It's not me. So I don't know how that works.
Yeah. But it did. Well, I think probably a piece of it is you controlling and creating the content, which is very big in this industry. That's kind of the best way to break in, as opposed to just being a work for hire actor where you get rejected for the majority of your career until you kind of pop.
Yeah, so I want to dig into your football stuff, and then I want to transition that into your in your acting world. And a lot of this is just about when in life, when we're going through certain things, and then that thing, whether it's a relationship, whether it's job transition, especially it's such a sharp cutoff with the NFL, and when you get done playing football, the transition and that energy that you have to take, and so many people, as you know, especially in the football arena, really get lost. And the NFL has done a great job from the time I used to play, from actually developing a lot of these different programs through the trust, which you know about. Let's go back to your football. I know you were a star in high school, and that usually translates into a scholarship. You grew up in California. You went to San Diego State. What was it that drew you about San Diego State? It's a beautiful city right on the coast there, Pacific mm-hmm. Ocean. I'm from Seattle, so we have a lot of rain. You have a lot of sun. Maybe that was the trigger. But for a guy, especially that kind of went all the way up the chain to the NFL, and San Diego State's a great, wonderful university, but it's not the biggest in terms of the Power Five. How did you end up going there?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it wasn't even anywhere near the biggest offer I had. I had Nebraska. I had some big-time offers. And my biggest thing is I wanted to go to the NFL eventually, but I wanted to live close to home. I was a homebody and, you know, love my family. And so I wanted to stay close to home. I really wanted to go to Cal. Cal didn't offer. Fresno State didn't even offer. I probably would have gone there because my best friend, Devin Wiley, went there. He got drafted actually the same year as me in the fourth round, but he went to the Chiefs. And I went to Nevada, Reno on a visit because they were about 2 hours from Sacramento, where I'm from. And I thought, well, it might be here because it's so close. And they were also D1, and it was the first snow of the year on my visit. And I looked at my mom, and I was like, I'm going to San Diego State. And I knew, you know, if I busted my knee, it'd be a lot better to be in San Diego than, you know, out in Nebraska.
Yeah, well, look, San Diego is a great spot, and you know, to go down there and play in a great system, and it's nice and warm all the time. I remember when at Washington, again, based right there in Seattle, when we used to go down to Southern California and play UCLA and USC. I mean, it just, and I played in a couple of Rose Bowls as well. I mean, it was just so much easier for me as a receiver to catch the ball because it just felt so much lighter and softer and everything else. And you're not freezing and trying to warm up your hands and wearing gloves because of the rain. So I would certainly understand that. So you go through the progression, you have a great college career. And then, as you know, you go through the process. A lot of people don't understand this, but there's an actual process. You don't just show up at somebody's camp. You get invited or drafted to those different camps, and you might go off to the combine. Did you have some idea that the Raiders going to pick you, or how did that all play out? And that's one question. The second question, which I ran into a lot, I was just grateful for wherever I was going to get picked, if I got picked, right? And on the other side of that, there were so many guys that I knew that thought they were going to be a second or a first or a third or a fourth, and they ended up eighth or seventh or ninth or whatever it was in those days, and they were so disappointed versus being grateful for where they got drafted.
Yeah, I knew the Raiders had a lot of interest because I met with them pretty extensively at the combine and had been in touch with them, and I knew they loved the way I played, my style, and you know, being good with my hands and shedding blocks and all the things we talked about. I was thinking they were going to draft me in the third round, and I later came to find out that they were thinking about pulling the trigger, but really needed O-line, and they didn't. And all my family was kind of thinking, oh, I think the Raiders are going to take Miles in the third, and that passed by, and everybody's kind of sour. Well, yeah, whatever about the Raiders, we don't need them. And then they picked me in the fourth round, and oh, we love the Raiders. Yeah, great Raiders. But that was great because I was kind of a hometown kid. I mean, it was the closest team to my hometown. You know, if you didn't hit traffic, maybe an hour and a half, and my family was there rocking it every single game. And as far as, yeah, the great, I definitely had the goal and the expectation that I was going to go somewhere in the third round. So I was a little disappointed, but you got to keep your mind strong and kind of stay with it there and got picked in the fourth and made the most of it. So I started every game my rookie year and really started every game I was healthy with the Raiders.
Well, that's always the key to, you know, really at any kind of level, staying healthy. You know, sometimes it's not always the better player that ultimately makes it, you know, the distance. It's the guy that can stay healthy along the way. I believe when we're talking about the Raiders, you're talking about the Oakland Raiders. You hadn't made the move yet over to Las Vegas, where obviously they are now. That's their new home.
Yeah, correct. Oakland.
Yeah. Now, have you gone to any Raider reunions?
Yeah, I've been to many of them. They do a really great job with their alumni and keeping everybody feeling like you're still kind of part of it, part of the family. And they put together some really, really great events. And I've really enjoyed it. Have you been to any of them?
Yeah, I've been to two or three of them. I can't make it this year for certain reasons. But anyway, you know, it's just I think the Raiders are unique. I was able to play for a couple other teams as well, and nobody does it quite like the Raiders. They invest a lot of money into their alumni and having, as you know, those people coming around and us just to interact and really feel like you're still part of the game versus, you know, kicked out and that's it. So it's a great way to be. So you played a couple of years in the NFL, and I think, you know, your career probably was ended prematurely because you got hurt, and now, you know, you come to that big decision. You've been doing this thing since. A lot of times people go, well, how long did you play in the NFL? I go, well, you really need to look at the body of work. So it's just not the NFL. It's not just college. It's not just high school. But when you put all these things back to when you start playing at 8 or 9 years old, you know, it's a long time. And all of a sudden now you're putting on the brakes in a hardcore way, and you got to take a sharp turn. And that transition from the NFL into what you're doing now is you're an actor. Was that a difficult transition, or were you pretty pumped up about what was about to, you know, lay ahead for you?
Well, initially I was devastated because what took me out from the Raiders was a knee injury. I kept injuring my right knee, and I lasted the exact average of the NFL, the 3.5 years, but I chased it for another 2 years after that. That took about a year to get fully healthy. And then I took workouts and just grinded and grinded, just really believing I was supposed to come back and have this, you know, amazing comeback in the NFL, and felt like I had more to give. And I just didn't quite have it. You know, I didn't quite have it. And so, long story short, I was in a mini camp with the Vikings, and I could just feel the knee wasn't there anymore. It blew up to the size of a softball, and I knew that was kind of it. And I think the reason I was so scared about the NFL ending is because I didn't really believe that I would have any sort of vocational passion like that ever again in my life. I didn't think I would have, because I had this tremendous passion for football. It's what all I thought about from the first day I suited up in pads to, you know, finishing off my career. I just loved it. I couldn't not think about it. I couldn't not daydream about it. And so I really felt like that was the mark I had to make, was through football. And that was the best opportunity I had to do it in such young years. And then it ends and you can't believe it. And I think it wasn't until I got to set, you know, I had inklings that I might be interested in acting. I loved watching movies. I, you know, thought in college, maybe that'd be a cool thing. I don't know if I'd be very good at it or enjoy it, but it'd be worth trying once football was done. It was kind of my secret thing. I didn't really tell anybody, but I took a class in college and I just kind of hung on to that dream. And, but it wasn't until I finally booked a job and I got to set, and I just, you get a little bit of that thrill that you get from, you know, a live game in front of a big crowd and just having to perform on the spot when they say action. And it was immediately in that moment, was able to walk away from football and not even think twice about it. And the passion and all the energy and motivation moved right into this new avenue.
Yeah, it's an interesting career path just because the NFL is so unstable. I mean, even though they give you a contract, but they can really cut you at any time. And then you walk into something else that probably represented a hell of a challenge, something very similar to what you had gone through, you know, football and climbing the ladder and making it into the NFL. But at the same time, you know, when you go, there's no sure thing, all the auditions and, you know, the attrition, and I don't even know what the math is and how many times you have to show up for commercials and TV and movie and all the other castings that you do, and you put your heart into it. And then for whatever reason, you might be the perfect guy, but because you're the wrong, you know, whatever it is, height, weight, personality, blonde hair, you know, I mean, I don't know what those factors would be. But, you know, it's just that moment that where you're going on, okay, now I got to go on the next one and the next one. And where you really feel like you're starting to build that career. I don't know how that works.
Did you ask when did I feel like I was building it?
Well, it was just really more the question of like, you know, as you're going through this, you're kind of going from one somewhat unstable career, even though it's your passion, to another very unstable career. And just like, where in there did you feel like you were getting some stickiness where, you know, you could actually do this beyond an acting class that you took, you know, where there's one thing to like it when you're being funny, but at the end of the day, when you have a family and kids and responsibilities, you know, and you have to follow through on that, that's real.
Yeah, it is. It's a good point. It is probably even more unstable than the NFL in a lot of ways, because you don't know where the next job's coming. You don't know where it's going to shoot. And that was hard for my wife as well, but she was at the same time fully supportive of me in chasing after it. I would say that the feeling of feeling like I was getting some footing goes in waves, because there's a lot of deserts, especially as you're kind of ramping the career up in the beginning. There's a lot of auditions, but I was blessed that a lot of my very first auditions I was booking, and I think it was just kind of God throwing me a bone and saying, hey, yeah, go down this path. I got you here. And I just kind of felt like, oh, that's the norm. I'm going to book everything. And, you know, I'd work a few jobs, and then all of a sudden it was just this big drop off where I didn't work for almost, you know, 6-8 months, something. And there's these deserts in there like that. And you start wondering, and man, am I any good at this? Was I just lucky for a little bit? Am I overanalyzing it? And no good now. But it's those times are good because they continue to test you and test not only your passion, but your grit towards that passion and sticking with it. And I'm glad that I have, and just keep honing the craft and enjoying it.
I think there's a through line for a lot of things that people, when they're transitioning, you know, out of one thing to the other, there's uncertainty, that whole mindset of really staying positive, because you have self-doubt that comes in. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're not getting that your positive feedback is getting booked, right? And when that's not coming through, how do you keep like blasting through those different things? For somebody else, it might be, you know, they're out looking for a job and they're not getting the kind of feedback that they need. And they go to these job interviews and, you know, they don't elevate to the next level. And I don't know for you, like for me going up, like when I spend a lot of time, I live in Sun Valley, Idaho. So it's very mountainous around here. And I spend a lot of time in the mountains. And so, you know, there's not a whole lot of noise around. You know, it's birds chirping and the leaves flapping back and forth. And so you have a lot of time to really just hone in on positive, just things that you want to accomplish and how you're going to get there with them, without having a lot of noise coming at you at one time. For you, like, do you do yoga? Do you meditate? I mean, is there some exercise that you do that helps you kind of get through these dry spells while you're waiting for something else to come down the road?
Yeah. Yeah, a few things. I think first and foremost would be my faith. Just every day, kind of just I drop to my knees when I get out of bed and just kind of surrender the day and try to remember who I'm living for. And my wife very much encourages me in that as well. She's kind of like my counselor in a lot of ways. She's actually has her master's in marriage and family therapy and has done a lot of counseling. And so I'm able to bounce a lot of these feelings and emotions off of her. And she's just a genius emotionally. So that's extremely helpful. And then also just as soon as I'm done with an audition, I just move on. And what's helped me to move on and stay busy is I started writing my own projects. I'm screenwriting now. I've written 4 screenplays. So as soon as that audition's done, I just go right back to that. I just keep working. And every day I've got that block of time where I'm just working creatively, whether it's on the next audition or writing those screenplays. And that's been very empowering in a lot of ways.
That's great. You know, what you're really talking about is trying to really control your outcome and your destiny versus just waiting for the call. So it's great, you know, just go offensive in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. Now, how does somebody, I mean, typically when you think of an actor, they're in New York or LA, and you sit in the middle of the country in Nashville, Tennessee. And how do you make that work from the standpoint of auditions, or has the game changed? Are you now doing things more on Zoom and auditions in that way, or you're submitting tape? I mean, how does that whole thing work?
Yeah, exactly. So the gold standard got changed when COVID hit, basically. Everything shut down. And the auditions, I lived in LA at that time, and I moved out here during the pandemic. And what the route they went was called self-tapes, which was already existing. And that just means that you throw your phone on a tripod and, you know, have somebody in your house read with you, or have a buddy come over, read with you for the scenes that they send you. And then you send the casting director a downloadable link. And they came to like that so much that in-person auditions are almost completely over with. And I mean, maybe more people are doing them, but I'm established enough with the casting directors now to where I can always get a self-tape, even if they did go back to that. But they're able to see more people, kind of not have to deal with all the small talk of all these nervous people coming into a room and, you know, giving them these eyes of hoping they get the job. They get to skip all that and see more people and be more efficient. I guess stay safer.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's really gone into this. I mean, it's permeated worldwide in terms of the remote working element mm-hmm. for everybody. You know, that's just a different way that you're, like you said, you're being way more efficient. You can live where you want to live. You don't have to be in a certain spot that you don't want to be. Probably control your cost a little bit more and just send, and your time. I mean, to go in, and you know, I'm sure your work, your craft just the same, but the drive time to get to the audition, to wait in the lines and do all the other stuff is out the window. So what a great efficient way to go about it.
Yeah, no, it was huge. Got to live where I wanted to for a lot cheaper.
Yeah. So, well, how did you pick Nashville? I mean, it's just, you know, when we talked about this before we went live, and you're just saying it's a cool town, and it's a fun town, and this, and that's great. But so are a lot of other towns, and you're from California. So how would you land in Nashville?
Well, I think the actual show Nashville romanticized the city in my wife's mind. She was like, "Oh, I've heard Nashville's great," and she would watch the show. And so one day I just surprised her. I said, "Hey, let's go pack your bags. We're going to Nashville." And this was, I think, in 2015. And we visited and just fell in love with it right away. I mean, every restaurant and bar you go to is filled with live music that's free, that sounds like these people should be on the radio. I liken it to what actors, what LA is for actors is what singer-songwriters is to Nashville, or Nashville is to them. And so it's a very creative city, very just talent everywhere. It's really fun to go to these songwriting venues and just listen to the stories behind these people that are making the songs that we're listening to. I think that's really interesting just from a writer's perspective. It's a different lane of entertainment, but you always take something from it. And we've been able to establish community out here a lot quicker as well. Coming from LA, I just really wasn't a big fan of LA. In a generality, a lot of people were very stuffy. It was really hard to get to know people. They were more focused on kind of status and what can you do for me? And, you know, if you weren't up to par with them, they immediately moved on. And the Southern hospitality thing out here is extremely real.
I sure found that down there a month ago or so, and just had a great time. Like you said, everything is true. You know, the surrounding neighborhoods, going out to Franklin and some of the other places, going to the restaurants, listening to all the music. It's just, you know, it's really fulfilling, and it's really about work-life balance of what you can do while enjoying things that really, you know, fill your soul. And I'm sure you're a very creative person as well. Otherwise you wouldn't be and have the acting bug. So good on you. So some of the projects that you've done on, I know you've been on TV, movies. Is there a particular show that has really spoke to you? Safety, I know you did. Is there one of the ones that you've identified with that character or where you really got into it and it was, you loved the process, you loved the people, you loved the director, and you loved the show?
Yeah, all of them in different ways. I think one of the more recent ones was The Righteous Gemstones. I played a character named Titus, and it's just a lot of really bizarre comedy, and the people making it are just kind of comedic geniuses. And I was able to showcase a lot, I think, on that show as far as just the humor and the just intensity of things and some physical stuff and some stunts. It was just a really good time, and it shot. It was actually the first gig I booked after moving to Nashville, and that one shot in Charleston, South Carolina. And that was a great time. And then another one was Safety. I was a lead in a film called Safety that's on Disney Plus, and I like that one just because it's one, it's a true story, but it's also family friendly. And so, you know, I was able to play it with the kids. And my son's too young; he'll see the screen and be dada, dada, you know. But, yeah, they're all good in their own ways.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, after going through, the NFL came out here, they filmed a bunch of stuff in February 2021, and then I went off to Everest and I filmed all the stuff that you see on the mountain. I came back and I, you know, through that whole process, I was like, there's one thing I don't want to do is become an actor. I don't have the patience for it, and cut and redo, all that kind of stuff. And so I've got mad respect for the people that are really great at their craft. They can do that and, you know, cut, redo, and they have to cry or, you know, come up with some emotional scene. I can't imagine that, but I might be a one and doner in the spectrum of my acting career, but, you know, certainly mad respect for all those people who not just are out there doing it like you, but are committed to it, you know? And I think that's where a lot of times people fall off. I look at the different things that I've been able to succeed at. And the main difference between myself and many others, most others, is just that, you know, when I put my head down and I'm ready to dig in, I just don't quit. I do it with daily discipline, just on, copy and paste, you know, and it's very repetitious, but at the same time, that's what gets you to your end result and what you really wanted in the very beginning. But it's that hard work ethic that you have to keep going at, and it's not easy.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. I vibe with that in every way. I think for me, the work comes from just insanely passionate about something, I have a really hard time being able to put that work in towards something I'm not really interested in. I can do all the pain and the this and the that if I have an end fitness goal, or if I have an end goal for once I finish the screenplay, I can start to pitch it out or whatever it is, because I know that that's getting me towards that vision. But would you say that's a similar deal with you, where it's you can have that hyper focus only if you have the heart and the heart behind whatever it is you're working towards?
It always gets back down to the why. And if you don't have a passionate why or why you're doing it, it's just too easy to quit. It's too easy not to get out of bed. And for me, at least, you know, that's why I think constantly reevaluating my goals and goal setting is so important. Even if you accomplished one, I look back on the things that I've done, you know, NFL and climbing mountains and Sports Illustrated and things like that. And, you know, it's never about whatever the award is. It's not about, you know, winning best picture and being on stage in front of all those cool people. It was about the process. That's what was fun. It was about the process of learning how to climb mountains over 10 years. It was the process of learning how to play football and ultimately, like you, make it all the way to the Raiders and get drafted by them. It was the process. It was not the end goal. It wasn't the winning touchdown. And that, I think, is where a lot of people miss the mark. They're too focused on that end goal versus, you know, waking up every day with that passion and that strong why about the reasons behind you doing that particular activity.
Yeah. How often do you reevaluate those goals? You talked about that.
Yeah, no, I'm constantly, you know, I mean, like on the case of Everest, I was honed in on Everest, right? And before that, I was down in the 2 years before that because of COVID, I was only focused on Antarctica. And, you know, before that, I was focused only on Denali. And the year before that, I didn't make it Denali because it was minus 80 degrees. So I had to go back and redo it and train all over again. So it's, you know, I really like to look at this as chunking. So now I'm done with Mount Everest. And so what's next? I'm going down to Jackson Hole. I'm going to climb the tallest mountain down there called the Grand. And then in September, that's in August. In September, I'm going over to Chamonix, France, and climbing Mount Blanc, and then going down to Zermatt, which is an hour and a half by train to climb the Matterhorn, iconic mountain, straight up, you know? So what am I doing about it today? That's the goal. I'm out there, you know, in 2 days. I get up every morning super early, go out and do an hour and a half, and in the afternoon, I'm back up that mountain. It's like that every single day. And I'll go through that mountain and I'll reevaluate. Okay, what's the next thing we're going to do? And go after that goal. So, I mean, that's just on the climbing front. I've got other goals too that are going on, but that's how I've been able to get through chunking it.
That's rad. That's so interesting, especially the training front. I always wonder, I mean, does the training protocols change a little bit between mountains, or is it always pretty similar?
Well, you're up in your game, obviously, because you're getting into ice climbing, and now I'm getting more into straight up rock climbing. But you know, the just the daily exercising component of that is making sure your legs are strong, your arms are strong, and your wind is strong, and you can deal with the altitude, and you can deal with the different things that are going to come up along the way. And that, you know, you don't go from Little League to the NFL, and so it just takes an arc of years of learning this little thing called experience, and it matters.
Yeah, 100%. That's so cool.
Yeah. So anyways, back to you and kind of rounding third base here. I know you're working on a screenplay, but is there anything else, and I'm talking about in the acting world, that you're working on a film right now, or you're doing something you're really excited about, or you have something around the corner?
Yeah, I've got a show coming out. Actually, I'm not sure when that one's going to come out. I just shot in actually New Mexico called The Loud House. It's a popular cartoon show for kids that they're making a live action series. And the opportunity came up and I thought, you know, that'd be fun. If I can get a laugh out of my son, Bo, then it'll be worth it. It'll be fun. So I got to go over there and goon out for a little bit and looking forward to seeing how that work comes through. And then I should be back for season 3 of Young Rock. I played Triple H on that one. And I just found out the other day they're going to shoot that in Memphis, which isn't, you know, too far from Nashville. So that's that's a perk. Last season was shot in Australia. So that was a hike.
Tough
one to do with a newborn.
Well, it is, but you know, again, going back to the perks, that's one of the perks you get for being in that industry. You know, you got to go on location. So whether it's Memphis or down to Sydney or wherever you were in Australia, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was really cool. So cool that I wasn't, you know, telling my wife every day how awesome it was. And she was at home alone with our son. Just, yeah, you know, yeah, it's, I, not like I've been at the beach all day and just working out. I worked a handful of days and was there in paradise for like a month and a half. And
love that.
Just loving it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. All right, buddy. Listen, where can people find you?
You know, I'm on social media, on Instagram at Miles James Burris and at Twitter at Miles Burris. I'm not too active on either of them. And then hopefully on more and more TV shows as we come through.
Yeah, cool. I love it. Yeah. Well, you responded to me, so you're somewhat active. So I love that.
Yeah.
But listen, I totally appreciate it as a fellow Raider. Totally appreciate you coming on, responding, and sharing your life a little bit with me and the audience. And nothing but best of luck to you going forward. I know you're going to be successful because you're going to attack this like you attacked when you were playing football as the mighty linebacker from the Aztecs onto the Raiders and now into the acting world. So it's really cool, and it's always great to see a successful fellow NFL guy doing well in life and have their priorities straight. So good on you.
Thank you very much, Mark. And likewise, man, it was very motivating to see the documentary and see all the things you've been able to do. And that's fitness goals for later on in my life too. So I don't know if I'll be tricking mountains, but but yeah, thank you for having me on. This has been a blast.
All right. There he is. The one, the only Miles Burris. Thank you so much.